In Tennessee, a U.S. Army female soldier is killed after she is stabbed nearly 70 times. In Michigan, a man is sentenced for killing his wife in a shootout after cheating allegations surfaced. And an arrest is made after a deputy was killed in Houston, Texas, after being ambushed. These stories and more coming at you today, Thursday, July 18th, on Real Life, Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
Thirsty Thursday, Woody.
Thursday. And guess what? I'm going back to the infectious disease doctor.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun because I'm finally going to get off these horse antibiotics and make me puke almost every day.
Yeah.
So go over there today and get the blood work done, and they tell me I don't have that nasty shit in my blood anymore. And hopefully I'll be free, and it will be a thirsty Thursday for real.
Amen to that.
Right. Amen. You got to have it. So with that, let's get down to some true crime time for Thirsty Thursday.
And we're going to start out in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Clarksville, Tennessee.
And a sad story here. An autopsy report has revealed that a 23-year-old soldier who was found dead in her home near Fort Campbell was stabbed almost 70 times and had traces of a date rape drug in her system. Private First Class Aguilar, Katina Aguilar, was found dead in her apartment in the late evening. Homicide detectives arrived at the scene and began investigating. The Clarksville Leaf Chronicle reported that Aguilar sustained 68 stab wounds, mainly to her neck and upper body, when she was killed. Her cause of death was listed as sharp force injuries to the neck and her manner as homicide, obviously. Her blood alcohol level was reported at 0.16, and she had traces of gamma hydroxy.
GHB.
There you go. GHB, better known as the date rape drug, in her blood. Aguilar was stationed at Fort Campbell in Kentucky and was part of the 101st Airborne Division. The 104th Airborne Division said in a statement that Aguilar started her active duty career in the military as an information technology specialist in 2018 and had been at Fort Campbell since 2019. So she had a good stint there. Right. She was given multiple awards during her career with the U.S. Army, including two Army Achievement Medals, a Good Conduct Medal, and the National Defense Service Medal, as well as a Global War on Terrorism Service Medal. So she was decorated.
Right.
She was buried in her hometown of Mesquite, Texas. So far, no arrests have been made in connection with her death, but Aguilar's family is offering a $55,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of her killer. Aguilar is survived by her mother and her four-year-old son.
Wow. I mean,
decorated female Army hero
and
stabbed 70 times and
70
GHB in her system.
70 times. GHB, y'all, it's used by bodybuilders to help their muscles recover faster. That's what it's supposed to be used for.
It used to be legal.
Yeah, it was. And when then it was also really easy to make in your house. But they made it illegal many, many years ago because they also found out you give a person X amount of a dose of it. And it's odorless and tasteless. You can't taste it. And they pour it in your drink and it'll knock your ass out. You have no memory. And people were getting raped. And you know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I hate that. It's a horrible story. Horrible, horrible story.
Well, hopefully they catch that guy.
Right. Well, let's talk about catching the guys. Now, I told y'all last week about the Houston, I think it was a detective. It was plain clothes, and he got murdered, ambush style, for no reason, right? So I got a couple things I want to tell you about this. I'm going to take a minute because, you know, it's important to me, and he's a hero. When he did it, it was a deadly ambush attack, right, on the deputy sheriff. And at the time they didn't have the guy.
Right.
Right. So they, you know, put out the blue alert and everything, and you know they're going to get their man.
Sure.
Well, they did end up getting him. And I'm going to tell you about that, but guess what? They made another arrest now, too. So a second suspect has been arrested in Texas in connection with the ambush kill in a Houston area deputy last week. Jerome Francis, 26, was charged with capital murder in the death of Harris County Deputy Fernando Esqueda. And I get it right, Esqueda, Esqueda, and has been booked into the Harris County Jail. That's what the sheriff, Ed Gonzalez, said. Francis' arrest comes after Ronnie Palmer Jr., 44, was arrested and charged. This is last Thursday, y'all, with capital murder. And I mean, you better believe Texas is going to kill him. And Esqueda, 28, was shot and killed Wednesday night in the line of duty while pursuing a man accused of pistol whipping an employee at the Little Caesars restaurant in Houston, right? And back to the restaurant stuff. But our hearts are heavy. He was an amazing young man, taken far too soon. He loved being a cop, and he leaves behind a tremendous void, the sheriff said Thursday. Palmer is accused of verbally assaulting and pistol whipping a Little Caesars employee after an order he was set to pick up was incorrect. And isn't that right? Just, hey, yeah, this shit's wrong, just pistol whip him. He then hauled ass, and law enforcement agencies began searching for him following one of the employees was able to give a vehicle description. Now, Esqueda, who was involved in the search, believed he found the car in question and contacted another detective to let him know. But he was ambushed while on the phone. He was actually on the phone with the other detectives when they shot him. Backup arrived at the location of the Italian Cypress Trail around about 1 a.m. to find Esqueda shot multiple times and his vehicle riddled with bullet holes. Deputy used a patrol vehicle to rush him to the hospital. He was in critical condition, but he died once he was there. But they got the first guy, and then thankfully they got the second guy. They don't really say what his involvement was. But I mean, evidently there was two of them, right?
Well, I can tell you that this is taking place in Texas, and just like you said, they don't play around in Texas.
Oh yeah, they kill more per capita than anybody. Not kill them, but execute more. And I mean, Little Caesars. You're talking about a $5 fucking pizza, man, and you got a pistol with somebody, and then when they're searching for you, you're gonna the cops. On his phone, the detective's on the phone in the car. You walk up, bah, 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 right? I don't know.
It's infuriating. And there's a lot of that going on right now with these just senseless killings.
Everything. Like the one you were talking about.
The guy at Sonic.
Sonic. And just goes on and on and on. And where does it stop? What's up with this whole country, right?
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to Michigan and another senseless killing. A judge sentenced a man to prison this week after he was convicted of killing his wife during a confrontation with another man over cheating allegations. On July 10th, the Macomb County Prosecutor's Office announced Matthew Mollican sentenced to 86 months to 15 years for voluntary manslaughter, 12 to 40 years for assault with intent to murder, and 2 years for 3 counts of felony firearm in connection with the death of his wife, Kimberly Mollican. The jury also found Matthew Mollican guilty of the charges in May. According to prosecutors, on July 12th of 2022, Mollican and his wife drove to the home of another man to tell that man to stop contacting Kimberly Mollican. Right. Matthew Mollican reportedly went into the garage to confront the male victim and reached toward a firearm in his waistband. The victim also reached for his gun and fired over Matthew Mollican's head. Both Mollican and the male victim reportedly began shooting, and the male victim sustained a gunshot wound to the leg. As he tried to run away from the defendant, Mollican continued to shoot toward the man, which,
yeah,
that's a problem. Right. You may have a defense there with, you know, somewhat of a defense because you're getting shot at, but when he tries to run away and you continue to shoot at him, that's an issue. Mollican went back to his car with his wife, and the shootout ensued from both parties. As a result, Mollican's wife was struck and died. Macomb County Prosecutor Peter Lucido said the court's decision to impose a lighter sentence than we requested does not diminish the severity of the crime committed. He added, "We believe the evidence presented warranted a harsher punishment, to reflect the gravity of taking a human life."
Crazy.
But a freaking shootout, man.
Yep. And then, I mean,
and he drove to this person's house. Right. I don't even know if he didn't shoot the guy when the guy was running away, if he would have got out of it. Right. I mean, you went to this man's house.
Yeah, well, he's got a real problem explaining that.
Armed.
Right? You go there armed, and you can't say that bad things aren't going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what his defense is going to be, but it ain't going to be enough, right? So let's go out to Arizona. In Phoenix, Arizona, Leonard Thomas Stewart III is 24, of Fort Defiance. Well, I actually passed through there. But Fort Defiance was sentenced on June 17th of 2024 by United States District Judge Michael T. Liberti to 188 months in prison, followed by lifetime supervised release because he pled guilty to abusive sexual contact of a child, right? Now, between October 3rd, 2017 and July 11th, 2019, Stewart engaged in abusive sexual contact with a minor victim on numerous occasions. One instance of sexual contact occurred in Fort Defiance while Stewart and the minor victim were riding horses together. Both the victim and Stewart are members of the Navajo Nation Indian tribe, and the abusive sexual contact occurred on the Navajo Nation Indian Reservation, which is why this is in federal court.
Yeah.
So it's a common misconception that, I mean, they are independent nations, independent land and all that, but they have their own police forces. But it also falls under federal jurisdiction under any serious crime like rape or murder. And that's why the FBI handled it. So the FBI and the Navajo Nation Police Department conducted an investigation in this case, and Assistant U.S. Attorney Christina Moore handled the prosecution. And sounds like he got what he's coming to him. And, you know, I was working on a case in South Dakota recently with actually an Indian tribe. And it's just so much shit that goes on those reservations, dude. You know, like 30, I think she's told me, she's a lawyer, 30-something percent of the women missing in the state are Native Americans. And they just want, nobody reports it, or they don't get investigated, or they get caught up in sex trafficking. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if it's 30% of, and I'm not being racist, but 30% of white women go missing. I don't get it.
And I think, it's a different culture.
It's a different culture. They you know, try to take care of their own and all that stuff. But it's so commonplace for these women to get missing. And the res is what they call the res police only has jurisdiction on the res. And so if they're not on the res anymore, they can't even go look for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say I got to turn over to the feds, and you know, you see where that goes.
Yeah,
we are recording this on Monday, right? And it's Thursday show, and I get that, but we just had some breaking news come across, and this is not political; it's just a fact, and then it's going to be a big story. In Washington, the federal judge presiding over the classified documents case of former President Donald Trump in Florida has dismissed the prosecution because of concerns over the appointment of the prosecutor who brought the case. Now, U.S. District Judge Aileen Cannon granted the defense motion to dismiss the case on Monday, voiding a prosecution that at the time it was brought was seen as the most perilous of the multiple legal threats that Trump faced. Mm-hmm. Lawyers for Trump had argued that special counsel Jack Smith was illicitly appointed in violation of the Constitution's appointments clause, that his office was improperly funded by the Justice Department. Smith's team had vigorously contested the argument during the hearings before Cannon last month. Now, a spokesperson for Smith did not immediately return requests seeking comment, and Trump team did not immediately have a comment. That's crazy.
So yeah,
that means
it's a big deal.
That's it. I mean, it's he dismissed it. I think that was the worst case they had against him, right?
That was in my opinion, the strongest case. Even though his defense on that was that he could unclassify those documents as president, yeah, and that he did do that. But the fact that it's dismissed is a big victory for Trump on that.
That's craziness.
Woody, do you know why I want to learn more Italian?
Why, I go?
Because my niece is getting married next month, and that means a wedding full of these crazy Italians from out of town.
Huh. And when it comes to learning a new language, there's only one leader, Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone's the most trusted language learning program, period. I've come a good ways using Rosetta Stone, but it's time to take it to the next level. My niece's wedding will be great prep for a trip I want to take next year.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. No English translations. Rosetta Stone helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
And the True Accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Lifetime membership has all 25 of the languages for the rest of your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today.
That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 languages for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that doesn't turn into fat when you consume it. Instead, it turns into a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body.
So getting more MCTs in your diet is like flipping a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which flushes out excess fat and calories. And Dr. Gundry has created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it comes in a tasty drink form. It actually tastes good. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized.
So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/RLRC and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. And again, that's GundryMD.com/RLRC.
Awesome.
All right. Good deal. There you go.
So we'll move on to our next story. And this is out of California. And, you hate to report on these abductions, kidnappings.
Yep. Real life, real crime.
But they happen. Police officers arrested a woman on suspicion of kidnapping a 4-year-old girl from a restaurant in Santa Monica. Around 12:10 p.m. last Friday, the Santa Monica Police Department received a frantic call from a woman whose 4-year-old granddaughter had been abducted from a restaurant. Responding officers gathered video of the suspected kidnapper, a woman in her 30s, and relayed those images to other units. More than 30 police officers and civilian personnel flooded the area in search of the child and her abductor. Nearly 30 minutes after that 911 call, officers located the kidnapped girl and the suspect at a Holiday Motel less than half a mile away from the restaurant. The child was unharmed, thank God. While the grandmother was busy ordering food, the young girl was somehow lured away by Shields. Brianna Shields, 31, was arrested on suspicion of kidnapping, felony charge that is punishable by 11 years in prison, and police say she had been living at the motel for an extended period of time. That's how quick that can happen.
All right.
You're ordering food.
Right, and just turn your head for a second and proves there are people out there that are...
They're looking for opportunity.
But, you know, I heard cases like this over the years where, like, people... go in a hospital into the infant unit, whatever you call that, when your babies are born, and steal babies and shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but how does that really fucking work? Because you're going to show up your home and claim this kid is yours. And unless you were living under a fucking rock for 9 months, people know you're not pregnant.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, what's the thought process? And I mean, was she going to do something sexual with a 4 year old, or did she just want to be mama for a day? Or, I mean, 30-some-year-old woman.
Yeah, staying at a motel. It appears she might have been by herself. I don't know. But it's awful. I mean, I could not imagine.
Oh, God, can you imagine a grandmother?
It'd be heart failure, man. I mean, look, I've been in Disney World, stuff like that, with my kids when they were young like that, and I held hands. Everybody held hands, mm-hmm. You know? Wow.
When I was a kid, I mean, was at Astro World, and somehow
I remember Astro
World. Young, somehow I got left behind. I think we were an all-star baseball team or something. Somehow I got left behind in one of the fucking exhibits or something. How they found me?
You sure that wasn't on purpose, Woody?
I just remember I got my ass beat. I deserved it. I'm sure they were scared afterwards.
Astro World.
You know, I was an altar boy, and you know, my parents had a lot of kids and shit. And after church, I go out after, you know, clean up and do all the altar boy shit.
Yeah,
go out and fucking parking lot's empty. Never no cell phones and shit, and the door is locked. So I can't get to a landline to call. My parents just left me.
This might have been a pattern.
I think they got home. They were trying to leave me.
They got home,
and they were like, "I don't know at what point they." I think I walked somewhere and used a phone or something, and like, "Hey, I'm up here by myself."
Did you forget somebody? especially these. Look, a lot of people are going 90 days. Your parents had a lot of kids,
six
too.
Kids, I mean, man. Yeah. You know, and all different ages and shit. And I'm sure there were. I think my dad, when his daddy was a judge, they were known for throwing parties and shit. And on like a Saturday, the Clinton actually used to have a movie theater when my dad was a kid. They took the movie and dropped him off and went back to the party and shit and forgot to go get him. And there were no phones to call back then.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. On a more serious note, Black Widow, right? Holy shit. I'm going back to Arizona. So Daniel Paduwski, Paduwski, reported his wife, Kelly, missing. And she really wasn't. So... anyway, Thomas Randolph, a.k.a. the Black Widower, was retried and convicted last year in connection with the murders of his sixth wife and the hitman he hired to get the job done back in 2008. But even though he sits in prison now for those killings in Las Vegas, Nevada, questions about the death of three of his earlier wives are being highlighted in the investigation. And this is on the Discovery's new documentary series, mm-hmm. The Black Widower. So the six wives of Thomas Randolph. But Stephanie Pitcher's criminal defense attorney at Parker and McConaughey in Pitcher Law told Fox News Digital she thinks it is certainly possible that Randolph could be tied to more crimes in the future. I think we've seen this with other high-profile cases, where years later, due to some discovery in the case or even advancements in technology, those types of things can sometimes connect to cases in a way that can be really revealing. And I don't see why this case would be excluded from that possibility. Now, Don Worley, attorney at McDonnell Worley, similarly told Fox News that anything is possible and there is no statute of limitations on murder charges, but noted that Randolph was acquitted on murder charges and connections with the death of his second wife. So, I mean, this dude has got it going on, right? Because he was acquitted on that one, he can't be retried on that case again unless a federal prosecutor files the charges in federal court instead of local. Prosecutor refiling charges in state court. He could be tried on any other murder charge, but I doubt the local government will spend the resource to do this. State already had to pay for two trials for this one conviction plus appellate work. Now, two of Randolph's six wives remain living, while the other four have died under different circumstances, ranging from murder to apparent suicide. I've been back to check that one. This one's probably legit. To heart surgery, complications to cancer. Anyway, this ID docuseries actually interviews Randolph from prison, and the just presents a wild and weird story that explores whether Randolph is a calculated killer driven by greed, or as he claims, just an unlucky in love. He's just unlucky.
Bullshit.
Right? But Randolph's own children testified against him during his 2023 retrial for the murder of his last wife, Sharon. And Randolph was initially convicted for killing Sharon and the hitman in 2017, but the Nevada Superior Court granted him a new trial upon appeal. And the court addressed a question on the application of a specific rule of evidence related to the prior bad acts. Pitcher explained, and the bad act in this case involving his arrest in 1986, death of his second wife, Becky Galt. And what was considered there was whether the evidence that had been admitted at trial regarding the prior deaths of his wife was admissible in this trial. You know, basically they're saying that influenced it. The jury. So you didn't have to mention prior deaths of his wife because he hadn't been convicted of them. But anyway, pretty crazy ass case. Randolph is now 69 years old. He was sentenced to 60 years in prison after his retrial and will probably die in prison. And the government is likely to use more resources on this defendant when they have other defendants put behind bars. That's what one of the attorneys said, even though it's a high-profile case.
I might have to check that out. Yeah. That's on a Discovery ID. Yeah,
Discovery ID.
And, sounds very interesting.
Six wives, bro.
Yeah, and they had a – they actually – I've read about a female that was similar, but in reverse.
Yeah, the Black Widow or whatever, right?
The boy.
Killing a bunch of husbands.
Six wives.
You know,
just letting lucky in love.
Yeah. If your wife asks you to go take a, a health scan test, whatever they call it, physical.
Yeah.
For a life insurance policy. Might want to check shit out.
Right. That might be a red flag.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. So, well, we're going to go to.
Why don't you go take a physical?
Yeah. We're going to go to New York City or New York anyway, in Elmira. New York, to be exact, or Elmira. A wanted man was arrested after police say he fell through an apartment ceiling in New York while hiding from police. Police officers were called to an apartment building about 6:26 p.m. This was on July 12th for a report of a wanted person. His name was George Wilson. Officers surrounded the building and they tried to make contact with Wilson, but shortly after the officers arrived, one of the building's tenants went outside and told them that Wilson had fallen into their apartment from the attic. Police secured the apartment Wilson reportedly fell into and kept calling for Wilson to come out from his hiding place. He wouldn't come out, so a canine unit was called.
Sick him, boy.
Yeah, from the county sheriff's office. And all of a sudden, Wilson decided that he was going to give himself up.
Give up.
He was arrested without former incident.
Yeah, before they've released the canine, they'll say numerous times, let's see, sheriff's office, canine, I'm about to release the canine, come out with your hands up. And they gave it like three different commands, and then you're all laughing, right? Because you know the dog's going to tear that ass.
Well, he apparently intimidated this guy enough to come out, and he was also wanted on several warrants, including third-degree criminal possession of controlled substance and possession of firearm, which is serious crime in New York. Yeah, K-9 unit got called. As soon as he fell through that ceiling, and he decided he was going to go ahead and come out with his hands up.
Come on out. Sometimes you just got to give up. Well, let's go to Africa.
Africa,
Johannesburg. Dang. In Kenya's national police said Monday they had arrested a 33-year-old man whom they call a psychopathic serial killer with no respect for human life.
Mm.
They said the suspect, Collins Jamasi Kalusha, had admitted to murdering 42 women, including his wife, whom they say he acknowledged was his first victim. Now, Mohamed Amin, chief of Kenya's National Director of Criminal Investigation, said Kalusha had murdered some victims as recently as just 4 days prior to his arrest, but that his alleged killing spree began in 2022. Amin made the statement during a news conference at DCI headquarters in Nairobi on Monday, and his remarks were also shared by the agency in a series of social media posts, which included a photo of him in custody. The police said they had been tracking his cell phone signal, right?
Yep.
It is a transaction of mobile money transfer using Josephine Owena's phone number that led detectives to tracking the suspect, a man said, referring to one of the victims. Kalusha was arrested early on Monday morning outside a club where he had gone to watch Sunday's European Soccer Championship final. The police said that after he was arrested, Kalusha confessed to having lured, killed, and disposed of 42 female bodies, including that of his wife. The suspect lived in a one-room rented house just 300 feet from the quarry dump, an abandoned quarry now filled with garbage, where the remains of some of the victims had been found earlier, the police said. Now, Kalusha was allegedly working to lure another victim, a woman police identified only as Susan, when he was arrested. We have a second suspect who was caught with one of the handsets from one of the victims, added Amin, without providing any further information on the second suspect's identity or how they believe he was connected to the murders. At the news conference, police displayed a number of items they said had been found in Kalusha's possession, including 10 cell phones, 24 SIM cards, 6 ID cards for men and 2 ID cards for women, 1 pair of rubber gloves, 12 nylon sacks, ropes, gloves, and a machete, which police believe he used to dismember his victims. Now, officials started discovering the mutilated remains of women between the ages of 18 and 30 stuffed into sacks last week near the choir dump, prompting locals and police to speculate about whether there could be cult or serial killer operating in the area. Well, that's just crazy. I'm 42, only since 2022. So he's been busy.
Yeah, he's been busy.
One every other week.
And had a cache. Yeah, of had everything you.
And
yeah.
And a machete. What the fuck? That should have been a WTI.
That's in Africa.
What's
South that? Africa or?
I don't know, Nairobi or wherever that's at.
Oh, that's regular Africa.
Yeah, like Africa.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know shit about Africa, to be honest with you.
I don't either, so I don't know how strict the law is, but I'm pretty sure that's not allowed.
I mean, we're not making fun of the 42 victims, y'all, but he was right. They got good gold in Africa.
Yeah.
But I ain't going there to mine it.
No. No, I mean, you know, in that part of the world, they have some pretty major shipping issues with these freight liners that are bringing freight in the sea cans,
and they get
pirated.
That's it.
Yeah,
big deal. Yeah,
and look, a lot of these companies, they just pay them. You know, they board the ship.
Well, the insurance companies pay them. They pay them because they got $1 billion or $500 million, whatever, worth of cargo. And yeah, that's a real deal too. Everybody's got to make a living their own way, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's absolutely insane that you can't even travel through the ocean without worrying about it. You thought pirating was something from 200 years ago, and they're still doing it, man. And I watched a big documentary on that.
And they come up in these little piece of shit boats.
Like
a little fucking 18-foot.
Hell yeah.
A fishing boat. Well, let me do one more real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so this one's crazy. An 83-year-old man, that's as old as my daddy, faces a murder charge for shooting dead his wife, who had been verbally abusing him for years, right? So Leslie David Brewer Sr. was 83, was arrested by police in Fayetteville, North Carolina on a first-degree murder warrant. Officers responded to a home in the 600 block of Pleasant Loop around 10 a.m. Thursday for a reported shooting. And when officers arrived, they found Betsy Craven Brewer, 83, dead from a gunshot wound. Investigators said Brewers got into a dispute at the home. The two had spent years fighting, and Leslie Brewer accused his wife of verbally abusing him and said she had been considering killing him for months. Now, after the dispute, Leslie Brewer left the home, but later returned and called police.
Mm.
Okay. During a Friday court appearance, Brewer appeared lucid. However, prosecutors said while he was cooperative with law enforcement, there were concerns about his mental fitness. And he's being held in jail on $500,000 bond. But neighbors near the shooting told ABC 11 they were shocked to learn of the incident. I was confused and surprised because I never really thought anything like that would happen in our neighborhood. It's always been quiet. No one really makes any noise. Everyone's nice to each other. That was the last thing I expected, honestly, said Edwin Cruz. They just kept to themselves and they didn't really talk to anybody.
Hmm.
83 years old, bro. I mean, that's like my parents have been married like 50 or probably close to 60 fucking years. That'd be like my mama shooting my daddy and saying, well, he's been mentally abusive to me. Yeah. I mean, verbally abusive to me.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out.
Look, these people, how many stories have we done over people over 65?
It's crazy.
Going buck wild, man. They're as bad as a 20-year-old.
That's what I was saying. You think that's because of their age that that story gets reported more? I don't know. I just never remember. I can't even remember ever arresting. Well, maybe one or two, but never. I mean, most people that kill each other were just younger.
And you would think that you go that long with not getting a life sentence to prison or killing anybody or anything like that.
Or any trouble.
And then you would just say, you know what? I probably got 10, 15 years left on earth.
Yeah.
I'm gonna enjoy it and not have to deal with something like that. Or but man, it's like their fuse just gets shorter and shorter.
Shot her and killed her.
As you get older. I don't know. I can't, but it sure seems like it happens more frequently now than it did 10 years ago.
We report on it almost every week for sure.
These freaking 65-year-olds don't play.
There you go.
There's no doubt about it.
83
in this case. Yeah.
I mean, I know.
Yeah.
My parents and all that. So 83 and you're killing somebody.
Yeah.
Your wife.
Yep. And how long were they married?
I don't know.
A long time, I'm sure.
Too damn, as what my deceased father-in-law would say. Too damn.
Yeah. Well,
that's that.
I don't even know what to think about that one. Golly, 83. I'll be glad to be still kicking at 83.
I don't even know.
I feel like I've really cheated life if I made it that long.
I don't know if I really want to hang around that long. I mean, I guess if I was in good physical and mental health. At a certain age, I don't want to just.
Yeah. Well.
But there you have it.
Any final thoughts?
Thursday. Let's see. We got Thursday. I'm trying to think of this weekend. Next week, of course, we'll bring all the daily shows again. And then I got to leave town.
Where are you going?
I got to go do some professional, whatever, expert defense work up north. And then on a case. Well, actually two cases, but one involving a cop and one's a sex case. But, but that's it. We love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Please continue to like and share and all that stuff. Send us your stories.
And check out Bloody Angola.
Oh, yeah.
Dropped today.
Angola.
Got another really good one.
Another hot one. At you. Hot one. And y'all go check it out. Uplifting stories to the most serious stories to whatever.
Stories of the incarcerated that are there. It's a whole gumbo of stuff. But check it out. And if you like it, share it.
That's it. Share it.
All right. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.